Of Luke, the 16th chapter. I almost want to apologize for the message. Don't misunderstand. Every time I say something like that, somebody comes up and says, "Pastor, don't you be apologizing." But I like to encourage you, and I like to lift you up. And the subject matter that we're dealing with this morning is just not one of those. In the end, I will give you a word of encouragement, but for the subject matter, it just is what it is. We're in Luke chapter 16. You might already guess the subject matter. We're going to start in verse 19 eventually. Let me share with you some other things from the scripture. Psalm chapter 9 says this: "The wicked shall be turned into hell." Psalm 18 verse 5 says, "The sorrows of hell hath compassed me about." Proverbs tells us that sin leads us, in description here in Proverbs chapter 7, her house is the way to hell. Proverbs chapter 15, hell and destruction are before the Lord. Proverbs 27, hell and destruction are never full. Matthew chapter 5 tells us it would be better for us to enter into hell, or to enter into heaven maimed, than to enter into hell at all. So if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. If your right foot offends you, cut it off. Matthew chapter 23 says this: "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" I want to talk to us today about hell. Why it's important for us to understand it. And I'm not saying that this is a great uplifting message. When we're done, one of three things is going to be true. Either you are going to be convicted that you have never trusted Christ as your Savior and you are on your way to hell. Or you're going to be reminded that someone you know who does not know Christ as their Savior is on their way to hell. Or we're going to become so indifferent to the condition of the lost souls of men that we will walk out of here untouched and unmoved. It's a difficult subject, but just because we live in a world that has made everyone overly sensitive to saying anything, and just because we live in a world that is so focused on being politically correct and never saying the wrong thing lest we offend someone, just because our world doesn't like to hear truth, does not change the reality of truth. Like it or not, hell is real. And that's what we're going to look at today. Father, as we consider this truth in your word, God, I pray that our hearts would be broken for the souls of men. God, I pray that we would see how much you love mankind and how great lengths you've gone to provide an escape. And God, I ask that you would help us to respond to the truth that's found in your word today. And Father, we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 is where we begin. "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." We don't know exactly the name of this rich man. He is given a name in church historical record, even though the Bible doesn't give us one. So if you've ever heard of anyone refer to a man named Dives, that would be this guy here historically is he's called that sometimes. "There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores." So there's the two people that are into the story as Jesus is telling it. "And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." So here's what is happening, right? What is going to be the end for all of us is now the reality for these two men. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, right? But after this, And that's what is happening in this story. Except the Lord's return, where the church is raptured out and we don't see death, unless that happens, then we're all facing death. Every single person in this room, every person you know, every person, it doesn't matter whether they're in Florida or whether they're in Michigan. It doesn't matter, right? The weather isn't the thing that's deciding this. All of us face death because it is appointed unto men once to die. But the rest of that verse says, and after this, the judgment. And that's what's really being spoken of here. This concept of hell versus an eternity with Christ. And so we enter into this story. Now, this is before Christ officially died and paid for the sins of the world. And so we perhaps have to deal with this concept of paradise here in this story. But here we have the rich man and Lazarus, and they both died. Now we look in verse 23. And in hell, this is the rich man. In hell, he lift up his eyes. And I want us to focus a little bit on some of the things that we can see about hell in this story and what we've already looked at in the scripture, things that the Bible tells us about hell. I don't know if you're aware, but it has been calculated that there are twice as many verses and statements about hell in the Bible as there are about heaven. You know, God wants us to be aware that there is a hell that we face without Jesus Christ. And it's an important concept in the scripture. So he lifted up his eyes. The next three words there are, when the rich man lifts up his eyes, what are those three words? Being in torment. Being in torment. Now, you know, that concept of torment is difficult. You know, now, here's what I know. I want you to understand this. God sends no one to hell. God did not create hell for human beings at all. Look at the scripture. God, you know, hell was made for the devil and his angels. And that's what hell was for. And God does not desire for anyone. He is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So God doesn't send anyone to hell. God allows you and I a choice. And that choice will either allow us to enter into heaven through Jesus Christ, or through the rejection of Jesus Christ, will send us to hell. We send ourselves to hell. That's the reality of it. Now, you know, does God make that happen? Yes, he does. You know, there's no question that God is sovereign, and God says, without Christ, this is where you go. But his great desire is that no one go. That's his great desire. But in this place called hell, there is torment. Now, we understand other things about the scripture, that there is a place of fire, a place of burning. We understand that where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. In this story, we're going to see great thirst. All of this torment concept is wrapped up in these things. But the greatest torment, I believe, in hell is that it is forever. Think that one through for a moment. In fact, someone has pointed out that some of man's greatest fears are all wrapped up in hell. In the book of the Revelation, it describes a place where death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, into a bottomless pit. And this is kind of the torment of hell is all wrapped up in man's fears. I don't know if this is true. Ever since I was a little kid, I've heard this. So somebody who's, you know, a rocket scientist out here can tell me whether or not this is true. And I don't know how they could ever prove it anyway. But that if you were falling, you die before you hit the ground because you die of the sheer fear of the fall. So, you know, you always heard that when you were a kid. Remember when laying there in bed, and you get that feeling that you're falling, you know? Whoa, it's such a strange... What is it about falling that scares us? Now, some people get a thrill out of it, you know, but the only people who get a thrill out of it are the people who know that there's not a bad ending, you know? It's not a big deal to me to have the thrill of falling if I'm jumping off of something into something that is nice and soft, you know, or into water sometimes, although water has its own little fear, but, you know, you get that idea. So, you know, but if you just are falling and you know that it's a bad end, you're scared to death. I don't care who you are. Nobody likes that fall, right? Man doesn't like that falling concept. Can you imagine a bottomless pit forever and ever? Most people have nightmares about the idea of burning to death because we consider it a slow, painful, agonizing death. We hear about people burning and it's a horror to us. And yet the Bible describes hell as a bottomless pit where we will never die and the fire never gets quenched. We never stop sensing and feeling the pain and the torment of burning. And worse, then the Bible describes it as a lake of fire. And this is just your pastor's, you know, vivid imagination. I imagine water, like it is for water. You dive into water and you hold your breath, you hold your breath, you hold your breath, you hold your breath as long as you can. And so now all of a sudden your body starts saying, do what? Breathe. Well, you know, so now you start struggling to get to the top of the water because you're going to breathe. And if you don't get to the top of the water in time, there is a strange thing about your body. Breathing is not a voluntary action. Do you understand that? When you go to sleep, you still keep breathing. You don't have to think, breathe, breathe. It doesn't work that way. It's involuntary. So if you're underwater and you can't get to the surface, there will come a time in which your body takes over. And what happens? You breathe in water. That's how people drown. Can you imagine being thrown into a lake of fire? And you're sinking lower and lower and lower into the fire, and there's torment and there's torture and there's pain, and you're agonizing, and you're holding your breath, and your body's saying, breathe, and your body's saying, breathe, and your body's saying, breathe, and you can't hold it any longer, and you never die. You never die. But the fire is inside and out. And the torment and the torture is like the rich man here begging and pleading for anything that might for one split second stop some of the torment. So that the rich man in this story looks over and sees Lazarus and Father Abraham. And the rich man cries, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and put that drop of water on my tongue so that that one little moment of torment might be taken away. And Father Abraham says, there's a great gulf fixed between you and I. So that you can't come to me and we can't come to you. And Lazarus is not coming. You know why? Because hell is a forever place of torment. Hell is a real place where people who have rejected the gospel, where people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, when this life is done, when they breathe their last on this earth, when like Lazarus and like the rich man, they die because all will, everyone without Christ, like the rich man, will go to a place of torment called hell. Keep reading in the story. In verse 24 it says, he cried to the Father, Abraham, have mercy on me. Now listen, this is important. Is God in hell? In hell. Now listen, God is not being punished and God is not being tormented. But here's what Psalm 139 says. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, that God is everywhere. There's no place that God is not. What makes hell hell is that God is no longer actively working in the lives and the hearts of men. Do you know what is not available in hell? Father Abraham, he's crying, have. And you know what not is available to those who are in hell? Mercy is the withholding of that which we deserve. And the absence of mercy is getting everything we deserve. mercy of God is not available to anyone who after this life awakens in a place called hell. Have mercy upon me. And Father Abraham says, I can't come. Lazarus cannot come. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place minus the mercy of God. Hell is a place of thirst and of flame. We see that in verse 24, a place of fire. Go on to verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come thence. And listen up, this is important. It doesn't tell us in this story, but it tells us in Matthew, where we already read, where the fire is not what? Where the worm dieth not. How long does this torment last? The idea, if there are those sitting here who might think, well, I can endure torment for a while. What makes it torment is that there's never a moment that even a drop of water is available. And there's never a thought that this will end. We use a verse from the Bible often when we're facing trials, and it's a legitimate use of the verse. The verse says this, this too shall pass, right? So here we are, we're facing something in life, and we say, oh, you know what, this too shall pass. If I thought this was forever, this would be difficult, but knowing that this too shall pass, it gets me through. Do you know what they never think in hell? Because it's never their reality. There's never the concept that this too shall pass. Hell is the awful, eternal consequence of the rejection of Jesus Christ. Hell is real, and it's a place of torment, a place of fire, a place without the mercy of God, and it's a place that cannot be escaped. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, this is the rich man talking, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham saith unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now listen, this is not Abraham being cold and heartless. This is not God being cold and heartless. What God is reminding the rich man is this, that now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. God is reminding the rich man, you had ample opportunity to come to Christ. The idea of hell is if we get in our mind that somehow we're going to be given another chance, a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance on the other side of eternity, that's just not biblical. My brother is a Mormon, and that is Mormon doctrine. The Mormon doctrine believes that you're going to be given another opportunity. I honestly look at my brother and say, you know, if my understanding of the Bible is right, you're in trouble. If your understanding of the Bible is right, I'm golden. Right? I've got another shot at this. You get the idea? That's not biblical. It's not. Abraham reminds the rich man, your brothers have the opportunity now, in this lifetime. Because once we have breathed our last on this earth, we are like Abraham, or we're like Lazarus, or we're like the rich man. Either we have trusted Christ and we are in heaven, carried by the angels to the presence of God, or we, like the rich man, lift up our eyes being in hell. Those are the two options. It's a real place. We must deal with it now. Verse 30 says, and nay, father Abraham, but if one of them went from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one raised from the dead. And here is a cold, harsh reality about being human. If you can sit here this morning and be unmoved, then it wouldn't matter if next week someone raised from the dead to tell you the same story. That's not what's going to change it. Do you understand? The opportunity is for you and I now to deal with this. Now, I'm well aware that in this circumstance, I'm probably talking to mostly a room full of Christians. So you say, Pastor, I know I'm not going to hell, so what are you trying to scare me for? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to burden us. I'm not trying to burden you even. I'm trying to burden us. Because the harsh reality is that when you go to the restaurant this afternoon and you lay down some money with a tip for that girl who was so nice waiting at your table, without Christ, she's going to spend eternity burning in torment and begging for mercy from a God who is no longer offering mercy to her. Because the harsh reality is that that favorite uncle of yours that you love to go fishing with, if he does not know Christ as his Savior, is not going to spend eternity one moment with you in heaven. Not one moment. And will not be given a second chance. This is the reality of hell. It's a real place. And I know it's difficult. I know it's a hard topic and we don't like this. We come to church to be encouraged and uplifted so we can go out and live for the Lord with great courage. But I can't change God's truth. And God's truth is that hell is real. Now, I told you I would encourage you. Here's the encouraging part. God wants no one to go to hell. And God has made a way so that no one need go to hell. Because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God so loved the world, and by the way, not just for our sins only, but for the sins also of the whole world. And God loved the world so much that he caused that light, the glorious light of the gospel, hath shined unto all men, teaching us the denying ungodliness of worldly lust we should live. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to sing a couple of songs for you. I'm going to say that to you. You know, two things are a problem with that. One is my voice isn't the greatest, and worse is I struggle to get through songs when they touch my heart. But I want you to listen to them, and I want you to let the truth of them sink in. Remember the school friend or the neighbor next door, the teacher, the postman, or the one who lives next door. They're all deceased now, and like many before, they're engulfed in the flames evermore, burning, yes, burning. Someone that you know is burning in hell and screaming in woe. Fathers and mothers and friends that you know in torment are burning below. Better move on. Last song. My friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth, I walked beside you day by day. You could have led me straight to him. My knowledge then was very dim. But never once did you tell me the way. You called me friend, but that was then, when we were young and best of friends, and living there on dear old Mother Earth. But it's too late, you've sealed my fate. I'll never see the pearly gate. You never told me of the second birth. And now I'm lost forever. I'm burning in this awful place. I'm suffering so much pain here. And through it all, I see your face. I'm glad you're bound for heaven, and you won't reach this bitter end. But it's so hard to be here, knowing that you were once